Thank you to all of our readers today. All of these events we've been reading about happened around AD 30, so almost 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, living in Palestine was a tough time to live, especially if you were a Jew. They were under Roman rule, and Roman rule was enforced by the sword. In fact, that very first Easter weekend, three crucifixions happened. Death in a horrible way. But one of those crucifixions would hold a hope that would change the whole world. 30 years after what we've just read, it was tough for another group of people living under Roman rule, and that was a new religion called Christianity. Those who followed the crucified and risen Lord Jesus. They were doing it tough. They were being persecuted in a variety of ways by both Roman and Jewish authorities. The Apostle Peter, one of Jesus' followers, one of the eyewitnesses of Good Friday, wrote to them. And he wanted to fill them with hope and he wanted to fill them with confidence. What do you write to a people whose houses have been confiscated, who are losing their jobs, who are being thrown in prison, who are being killed? Oh, buckle up, guys. It'll probably get better one day. What do you say? Well, this is what he wrote. And we'll leave these words up. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Peter wants to point them to something real, something that will change their lives immediately as it gives them perspective about what God is doing for them. We talk about hope in a whole lot of ways. We heard about that in the Everyone talk, didn't we? We hope for a whole lot of things. We hope our footy team will win. We hope if you're into it, you'll win the lottery, whatever it is. But these are maybe kind of hopes. We can't control them. They're desires. But when Peter writes, it feels very different. There's a confidence about what he says. It's not chancy. It's sure. It's guaranteed. That's Peter's idea of hope. It's a pretty good kind of hope, isn't it? And he says that it's a living hope. It changes you. It grows you. It matures you. It's fruitful. It makes a difference. You know, I do hope my team will win, but frankly, it's not going to make any difference to tomorrow whether they win or lose. None at all. But Peter is actually telling people that are under great threat, this will make a huge difference to you. It mightn't change the immediate circumstances, but look beyond that. Look at what God is doing. Friends, experientially, we all have hard times. For me, the litmus test of hope is this. The litmus test is when you are at the end of your life, which is none of us. We're all here today. But I have the privilege in my job of sitting at the bedside of those who are near the end of their life. And without fail, Christians are calm, they are at peace, they know what awaits. In what should be the most frightening of times, they are actually filled with joy. And that is a huge contrast to others who are not believers, who are filled with fear. Because this hope is real. This changes you. You know. Christian hope is an absolute, unshakable confidence in God. Makes a difference. Where does this absolute confidence come from? Does it come from me because I really want it to be true? Or can I make it happen? No, it's none of those. That wouldn't give me confidence at all if it was based on me. This is what Peter writes. He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Friends, we celebrate this today because it is the clincher. It makes such a difference. The absolute confidence we have is because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Peter has seen it with his own eyes. It's happened in history, in a time and a place. It wasn't in secret. Let's have a think about Peter. He's an interesting guy. Had the most noblest of jobs. He was a fisherman. Good on him. But he left it all, threw it in, and decided to follow this rabbi, this teacher. And he didn't follow him for a day or a week or a month or 3 months. He followed him for 3 years. For 3 years, he followed this Jesus, gave his life to him effectively. At one point in those 3 years, when others were turning away from Jesus because it was getting too hard, Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "What about you?" And Peter said, "Lord, to whom else would we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." They kept following Jesus because he was the real deal. They kept following Jesus because that is where their hope lay. This is the guy who, when Jesus got arrested, actually had the courage to go to the trial. We forget about that bit, don't we? But then he lost his courage. And 3 times, when asked, "Do you know this, Jesus?" he said, "No." He ran away from that trial in tears. This is the same guy, a few hours later, saw his master hanging on a cross for 6 hours until dead, until the Romans rammed a spear in his side to make sure of it, and he was put in a tomb. When Jesus died, that was it. That was the end of Peter's hopes. He's seen that Jesus was dead, and dead men do not come alive again. So where does Peter write these words that he does? He writes them because on that Easter Sunday morning, after the women had visited, Peter ran to the tomb and it was empty. Later that day, Jesus appeared to him and to the others and told them who he was and why he had done what he had. It happened, this confidence comes because Jesus was with them for 40 days, kept teaching them. Hundreds of people saw him in that time. It comes from the fact that when Jesus left them and Peter was there, Jesus left his Holy Spirit with them. And so 30 years after Jesus has risen from the dead, Peter writes to people in pain, "Praise be to God, for he has given us a living hope because Jesus Christ has risen again." That's where our hope comes from, friends. And it's certain and it's sure. It's our hope of the inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade. I was speaking during the week to a group of residents at a retirement home. And I said to them, I said, "When I say the word inheritance, what do you think of?" You can guess. They're thinking of what they're leaving for their children. And possibly the fights that are going to ensue and things like that. And I said to them, "What about the inheritance that you're going to receive?" And friends, that's true for everyone whose faith is in the Lord Jesus. We have an inheritance that cannot change. It is guaranteed. It is from God. And Jesus said, "I'm preparing a place for you there." What an extraordinary thing that is. Our hope is that come what may in this world, good or bad, our future is guaranteed. Our hope is in the fact that God is good, that he wants us to be with him. And so our hope is that we too, when we die, will be alive again with him forever. Friends, the resurrection of Jesus wasn't done in secret. Jerusalem knew about it. Eventually, the Roman Empire knew about it. The Jewish authorities knew about it. In Marilyn's reading, we read that they tried to cover it up. When Peter wrote this, many of the people he's writing to were still alive. They'd been eyewitnesses. Peter isn't writing to convince them of the resurrection. He's writing to remind them. This happened. And this changes everything. And friends, it doesn't change it just for the future. It changes it right now. A few verses on, this is what Peter writes. "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Friends, I can say from personal experience, I have a joy that nothing in this world can match and nothing in this world can take away. It is there, it is real, it is permanent because the God of heaven and earth loves me and died for me and rose again for me. So my final question today is, what about you? Is that true for you? Because the promise of God is that all who call upon his name, he will call his children. All that come to Jesus, knowing they've done wrong, find forgiveness in him. Right, we're almost at the end of our time. Right at the end, Brian will let you know about something called the Life Series, just a way to find out more if you would like to know more. But otherwise, please come and have a chat with me after the service. And please do something, because this is the greatest hope imaginable. The God who made everything loves you and gave his life for you so that you might be with him forever. Let me pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you are indeed the Son of God. You are God's hope for this world. You were born as one of us. You lived, you died, and you rose again that we might be God's adopted children forever. Please let us live each day with this hope spurring us on. We pray for this world, so many of whom do not know you. Please give them the same hope that we enjoy, of sins forgiven, of peace with God, of salvation of souls, and of the glorious inheritance of heaven. Amen.